And now the extravaganza. I have to make up a bumper. And now the extravaganza continues at johnlightning.com. I have to get the voiceover guy in. What were you shaking your head at there, fucko?
No, I'm just saying.
Make the transition back a little more slick sounding.
This is a little more. It looks like this is supposed to be a seventh inning stretch.
Yeah, this is the informal portion of the proceedings.
Yeah, the pressure's over.
True.
Let's relax a little bit. You know, why put a bumper making it like it's a brand new production that we got to gear up and psych ourselves up for? You know, just, you know, this is the wind down time.
Nah, I don't wind down until sometime tomorrow morning. That's how jacked up I get for doing this. And although at this point in the proceedings, telephonic input tends to be exceptionally minimal, I will implore you all out there to interact with us a little more frequently in this portion of the proceedings. To take the onus off the information and opinion being solely that of the staff and mismanagement of 11L R&I, so that we could maybe get a bit more balance in what we do here. But regarding what we're doing over there and the sad situation with Pakistan and Musharraf, within months of the sad, tragic events of 9/11, we began having very serious second thoughts about it all supporting G.W. Bush, particularly when it became obvious that the neocons were going to use those events as an excuse to wage the war they long wanted to wage, the one that they wanted to wage that we are now waging in Iraq, that diverted us from the real war on terror we fought in Afghanistan, and were too foolish to not continue to fight by going after Osama into Pakistan, across the border, into that mountainous region. Fuck you, Musharraf. Yeah, we're coming in. If you're any kind of an ally, you're just going to step aside. Stay out of our way. First of all, you really can get involved. His efforts in assisting us in capturing Osama to date have been virtually nil, because he really couldn't afford to piss off the fundamentalists in his country any more than he already had. So, we should have just went in there and made it plain that we were receiving no assistance from him, no less any resistance, and gone and gotten the job done. But we had to go after the straw man of Saddam. How many years has this been so fucking obvious that we were led down this side road, that we were sold a bill of goods for a conflict that is that's the war equivalent of Chinese-made lead-based toys? Now, with Pakistan teetering on the precipice of political collapse, you have to wonder, at least if you're a pundit kind of like me, you have to wonder how quickly Osama and Al-Qaeda will move to consolidate its support in Pakistan and move to acquire the weapons of mass destruction they seek that Musharraf has in Pakistan. That is a fear more potent and an outcome more possible than we might want to consider. But you know what, pal? We had better do so. Because if there's anybody that's really scaring the you-know-what out of me, it's the nation of Pakistan. And interestingly enough, not on this week's, but last week's edition of the McLaughlin Group, perhaps my favorite scream fest on TV, John McLaughlin actually did a very lucid and well put together overview of the situation in Pakistan. And as it turns out, he ended up agreeing with yours truly. You want a nation that frightens me, a nation that we need to be scared shitless of? Yeah, Pally, it's Pakistan.
Issue one, the most dangerous nation in the world, Pakistan.
So says Newsweek this week in an informative on-the-ground account. Pakistan has borders with China, India, Afghanistan, Iran. It's one half the size of California. Population, 164 million. Muslim, 97%. Pakistan and India continue to fight over the Kashmir region. Pakistan's president is 64-year-old General Pervez Musharraf. He's been a U.S. ally since the late 90s. Islamic Jihad militants hate Musharraf. They see him as a U.S. pawn. He has survived three assassination attempts. Today, the general and president appears to be losing his grip on power. Onto this scene comes Benazir Bhutto, a former prime minister, Harvard and Oxford educated. She spent 8 years in political exile. Her homecoming last week turned into bloody carnage. Benazir Bhutto says high-level government insiders in Pakistan were involved in the assassination attempt on her. Like Musharraf, 54-year-old Bhutto is an ally of the United States. So the jihadists hate her, too. They see Bhutto's homecoming as a U.S.-orchestrated coup against Islamists. The Bhutto return was engineered largely by the U.S. to subdue Musharraf's enemies. Bhutto and Musharraf agreed to share control of Pakistan. He stays on as head of state. She becomes the head of government. He is the president. She is the prime minister. Jihadists are gaining ground throughout the nation. They have moved into cities and suburbs where they recruit young suicide bombers for the war against NATO and U.S. forces in Afghanistan. For Osama bin Laden, Pakistan is a dream come true. He's got a trusted network of radical Islamists. He's got access to state-of-the-art technology. Bin Laden is likely taking refuge in Pakistan's northern and western tribal territories, not far from the Afghanistan border. This is where Musharraf's army has suffered humiliating losses. Instability in Pakistan is a nightmare for the White House, a nuclear nightmare. Unlike Iran, Pakistan has the bomb. If Musharraf loses power and the country tips towards Islamic fundamentalism, Osama wins. Osama gets the bomb.
Pakistan has the bomb. I like the way you said it. Yeah. They have the bomb. Scared yet, folks? Are you scared yet? John summed that up really nicely. Yeah, I'm more worried about the instability in Pakistan than just about any other nation on the planet right now.
Well, you know, they may have the bomb, but they don't have the intercontinental delivery systems, and I don't think they're going to be able to get that right away.
That is true. However, that is not necessary so long as Osama and company can get their hands on that nuclear bomb or fissionable materials, which they could always turn into a dirty bomb and ship into this country, which certainly wouldn't turn out to be particularly hard, considering how easy it is to get bodies, to get real live living people snuck into this country. Once he gets his hand on a nuclear weapon, it could somehow end up here. It can end up being detonated here, or of course it can end up being detonated or used a lot closer to home, say over in Israel.
Yeah, and also India.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But the second they use it in India or in Israel, they're going to be wiped out because the Chinese don't want to have them on their border, the Russians don't want to have them, and we don't want to have them, and we all have intercontinental ballistic material missiles. We can actually maybe really turn Afghanistan back to the Stone Age, for real. You know, we could turn Pakistan back to the Stone. They know that they can be totally wiped out if they piss off the wrong people.
Not that that would worry the likes of Osama bin Laden. And this whole idea of a Musharraf Bhutto coalition government, the suspicious timing of his actions this week, come on.
Yep.
He never wanted that. He never wanted that. We did. We pretty much were forcing that upon him. So he took action this week. That was, I guess, his way of saying, up yours, America. Condi Rice did make the statement today that we are now reviewing our continued support of his government, to which I can only say, about fucking time.
Well, you got a real. I have been following all the stories, but the insurgency activity in the last 2 weeks has really peaked in that country, and it's you know, under the guise of political rallies and stuff. But there've been riots and street riots. And what do you think? if I was in that position, what do you think I would do? I'd have to somehow stop it. I'd have to stop it. I think Sharp is doing the only thing he can do to keep himself politically alive.
Doing it by suspending the Constitution, by instituting martial law, by closing down most of the press, media. They went about closing down all the opposing voices, those radio and television stations that were voices of opposition. They're gone. All the newspapers in that country, except the government-operated ones, they have all suspended operation. I'm not happy about that as an American, and America should not be supporting a government that engages in such activities.
What if George Bush finally, you know, as the old cliche goes, the straw
that
breaks...
It's cliche time!
Right. Breaks the camel's back, no. And most
well,
of
lots
the
of camels in that area.
And a whole lot of people in this country get so PO'd, they decide they're going to march on Washington, and anybody who tries to stop them, they're going to beat them up, they're going to kill them, they're going to run them over. What do you think it's going to be? What do you think it's going to be? The same thing as it was in there. Good old Georgie Bush will stop any left wing. He'll close down the newspapers.
We'll stop any left wing.
Any left wingers, one way or the other, whether it be radio station, newspaper, the whole thing. He will do the same thing. And you know what?
Ladies.
He already has to some degree.
That much is true. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to take over for John Lightning, I can no longer do this every week. 718-633-3018. If you would like to host the next edition of the A Little Bit of Everything Radio Show, hey, you know, there's an idea.
Yeah, anyway,
another dumb one. I sit behind, you know, one of the lesser microphones, all right? And I act as co-host, as second or third in command, and let some other smart-ass listener out there assume the con, okay? Be the person responsible for the control and flow of the show for the 3 hours plus that we're on the I'd love to see. I'd love to see how soon it would take for the new host to go to pieces trying to assume that responsibility.
Steve from the Jersey Show.
Oh my God, that would surely be our last show. That's the last minute of tonight's show. I really want to get out of here and get some rest. I should have gotten some last night, right? We're turning back the clocks and all that.
No.
But my fucking neighbors made that impossible. So I'm going to get out of here. As usual, I'm going to see if the last guest staff of 11LR and I has any last words. And then we're going to say goodnight to you all. Brother Mike?
Good show.
Well, of course.
And have a good week.
Thank you. Big guy?
And if the Quran is subject to one interpretation, why did Sunnis fight with Shiites?
That could be a whole show in itself,
and
because
how?
I've read about that, about the differences in how they approach the religion, not necessarily interpretations. What it has to do there is with their following different spiritual leaders. I believe the Sunnis follow one set
Let's say shaman, because we can't remember.
Please stop. Wait, please stop. No bad joke. The Sunnis follow one set of descendants of Muhammad, and the Shia follow a different set of defendants, and they all have their various little differences in how they enforce Quranic law. Not necessarily how they interpret the Quran, and it's far too difficult and involved for me to explain, at least without doing a lot more research. But that's what that comes down to. Unfortunately, because we only have 3 hours, thankfully we only have 3 hours, we didn't get to the story this week in any great detail of Imus's return, of that scumbag, that lowlife, that the lowest of the low, folks. Truly the lowest of the low. Fred Phelps, that motherfucker. Fred Phelps finally getting his in a lawsuit verdict this week that's going to cost him serious money. You know the guy that drags around his band of bastards to funerals of servicemen and gay people. You know, they go around holding up signs saying God hates fags and all that. That motherfucker. I know I'm being way too obscene tonight. But boy, was I glad to see him get his in a court of law this week. We didn't also get to discuss Clear Channel's boycott of the new Bruce Springsteen album. We didn't get to talk about new revelations concerning the origins of AIDS. And There were a couple of other things that were perhaps superfluous that I wanted to get into simply because they'd be fun. But hey, folks, more reasons why you should be here when we reconvene next week on the Extravaganza. Yes, Michael.
I don't know if you are aware of it, but this week they had the induction ceremonies in the Radio Hall of Fame in
including
Chicago.
Dan Ingram, yes.
Dan Ingram, yes. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering.
You know why, in part, I couldn't get myself to care? It's when I heard that Dan Ingram was going to be inducted by a current staff member, on-the-air staffer of 770 Radio, Radio 77, WABC. Because the staffer in question, the unctuous Sean Hannity. I think so little of that guy. I find him so... God damn it, why are you fucking with something when there are live microphones on? Oh, man, 20 years I'll be doing this, and the people I work with will be making the same dumb mistakes. The same dumb mistakes. And I'll continue to lose my temper. I apologize almost, but they have to learn not to make the same mistakes. I'm the only one that gets to make mistakes without anyone chastising me. Bullshit, these bastards jump right on me when I do. When I heard that it was Sean Hannity, who is nothing more than a rip-and-read Republican talking points enforcer, an enforcer of the Republican agenda, I thought, man, what I know of Dan Ingram's politics is that he seems to lean to the left and probably is not a fan of what the Hannitys of the airwaves are doing. And the realization that that Dan Ingram's inauguration was going to be sullied, was going to be tainted by having him introduced, by having it done by Sean Hannity, made it easy for me to ignore the event. But nonetheless, kudos to Dan Ingram, who's certainly gotten one more honor that is well-deserved, because he was, in my opinion, at least among those I heard, the greatest top 40 DJ I ever heard. Thanks again, folks, for listening to our show. As always, special thanks to the very few of you that called in, and even size larger thanks to those of you that, if you have not yet, will now be going to our website, johnlightning.com. That's johnlightning.com. And emailing us with your plaudits and kudos, or perhaps your critical and caustic comments regarding our show. Our email address, wbcqradio@aol.com. That's wbcqradio@aol.com. Or preferably, going to our website, johnlightning.com, to use our PayPal link and help financially support our little bit of everything, Radio Extravaganza. Till next week, thanks again, and good night, y'all.